Today on Real Radio.
When we begin to covet, we begin to allow things to happen in our lives that we would have never allowed before. Some of us have lived long enough in the Christian faith to see people who took a strong stand only over time to give up and to cave in. It's a heartbreaking thing to see.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, the final commandment, number 10, if you will, states that we're to covet nothing that belongs to our neighbor. Of course, you know our Maker has many divine attributes, not the least of which is that He is the great provider of all our needs. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with a look at the 10th commandment.
You shouldn't covet your neighbor's donkey or Mercedes-Benz or nor anything else that your neighbor has. His clothes, his status in life, nothing. The Bible says get your eyes off of other people. Don't look. Don't go there. Why? What are we thinking when we covet? We can be in a room right here, right now. We could be right now. And you heard the topic and I've lost you for the last 10 minutes. You've been like, I don't think I'm coveting anything, but maybe that one thing. It's sometimes subtle. And there's that vein of we're not exactly complete. We're not fulfilled. And you know the world out there is coveting all the time. We know that. It's in a constant rage to get something to satisfy that. But listen to this. What were we thinking when we covet? Well, a few things we'll consider. We're thinking that we'll never fall into that sin. That's one of the things about coveting, that we'll never fall into that sin. We're thinking that that's not going to happen to us. We won't fall into that. This is a great plague for our human psyche. We think it's someone else. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If you think that you're, listen, strong enough and you don't need help and you don't need to be careful about this issue, the Bible says watch out. That's a dangerous area for you. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You ought to circle that. Are you being tempted tonight? Has someone been tempting you? Has your flesh, is there some temptation hammering you? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Temptation comes from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. It does not come from God. But the Bible tells us God has provided a way for us to escape against that onslaught. So when somebody's covets someone or something and takes it or is with them, and then they're busted. Why did you do that? They're asked. Why'd you do this? I don't know. Yeah, you do know. Why didn't you run when you had a chance? I don't know. Yeah, you do know. You wanted that thing. You wanted it. You saw it. It had a glimmer to it. Or you thought that he would make you happy. Or she would make you happy, and you went for it. God said, don't do it, but you went for it, and you know exactly why you went after it. But we tell ourselves, that's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna fall into that sin. It's not gonna happen. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the what? Deceitfulness of sin. Remember how sin was pursuing Cain? And God says, Cain, watch out. It's pursuing you. It's coming after you. What does it look like? Isn't it freaky? Does it like move in the shadows? I'm being silly, of course, but is it not in the thoughts? Is it not in the desires of the flesh? We know that it is. Right now, no matter how powerful and strong the most saintly saint we have in this sanctuary tonight, if they were to let their heart or mind go, take down the restraints of your spiritual guard and let your mind go, the flesh begins to plan on how it can pull off a stealing of something or a grabbing of something. It also says there to us that We're thinking that we'll be able to handle it. If you cross that line of, well, I'll never get involved in that, and now you find yourself in it, then the next lie that we give to ourselves is this: I'll be able to handle it. It's okay. I was once a raging alcoholic, but I'm going to go into this bar to get a cup of Pepsi or drink. Don't do it. Don't go there. Oh, look at those two guys. They're in a fight over there. And I used to have a horrible temper like that. I'll go break it up. I'll take care of it. You should be the last person who goes. Don't do it. I can handle it. If anyone you know, or if you're here tonight and you're saying, oh, we're just being flirtatious, I can handle it. Slippery slope, friend. Is God speaking to any one of us tonight about the 10th commandment? You shall not covet these things, because it's interesting. As it is the bookend and the first commandments on the other end, you want to love God more in the first commandment and ask God, Lord, fill my heart with more love for you, because I want to avoid everything in between and I want to end well regarding the 10th commandment. You see, well, Jack, you just said we can't keep it. Yes, but when you sin in thought, don't let it go any further than that. If it sins, if you sin in your thought, and you will, grab it and say, Lord, forgive me. Bring that thought under the captivity of Christ, the Bible says. Let Jesus reign in your thoughts. Listen, church family, do we all know this? That God sees everything. He's not waiting for the DVR to come on or for you to press the remote, and then he's cued into what's going on. No, he knows your thoughts. He knows what you dream about, what you think about. He knows what you've been coveting. And he's warning. But we often say we can handle it. The dangers of what we allow ourselves to see, it's a scary time. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible says, do not lust in your heart after the immoral woman, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Don't you love the Bible? Is that not? That should be on the wall of every high school college class. If I was a teacher, I'm sure the ACLU would be after me. I'd put that up there. That could save a person's life. Well, I just believe kids should just experience all the things in life that they want to. We're to be parents. We're to love them, guide them, protect them. And listen, you remember when you were like, I don't know, I'm old now, so. But what is it, 12, 13, 14? I don't remember. When things begin to happen, hormones begin to change. I mean, you're like a kid, you know. I'm like playing army and throwing rocks at people and you know, blowing stuff up. And then the next day, what is that? Is that a girl? Their hair smells different. Have you noticed? Did you remember that? What is that? Something's going on. And then from that time on, I don't know when, from that time on, for the guys, 20, 25, I don't know when, they're just nuts. They're not normal. They're not right. You can't think right. You can't make decisions correctly. It's dangerous. I can't speak regarding a girl because I've never been one. Don't plan on ever being one. I can't speak regarding a girl, but we have to be careful. Well, we just can't let our kids do whatever they want. Oh, they can handle it. They cannot handle it. I was getting nervous today, and it's not even my daughter. I went to the alteration place. I have to get some clothes fixed. And I'm sitting in there waiting, and this mom walks in with this young girl, and I don't know who they are, and she goes into the room and comes out because she's going to have her dress. Oh, my goodness. She had this long dress. And the person that does the alteration person? The alternator. The alternator kept bringing up the dress, and she's going, here? She goes, no, shorter. Here? No, shorter. Here? Right about there. And I'm going, oh, gosh. And you could see the woman go, okay. And she's marking it. And I'm thinking, Where's she going? Where's her dad? Does he have a gun? All right? You know, as you get older, you think about stuff like that, and it's like, oh, man, especially if you have girls. If you have one guy, if you have a boy, you only have to worry about your boy. But I've raised daughters. If you have a daughter, you have to worry about every boy in the county. It's different. So I just look different. It's like, where's her dad? You know? Oh, they can handle it. Be careful. We can't handle things without the power of the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. You know, I looked something up and it was shocking. Did you know that the bankruptcy rate among private individuals has skyrocketed ever since the advent of, I'm not kidding, the home shopping network? It was amazing. Apparently, people had some form of restraint because they couldn't just go to the mall every day, 24 hours a day. So what happened? They brought, through the home shopping network, shopping right into your living room. And so, gosh, I think I need that. Yes, I'll take one of those. And then they show you something else. I think I need that. Isn't that amazing? We can't handle it. If our heart's content, different story. But when we covet things, we've got to have things. And it's led to all kinds of great peril. Thirdly, under this point, what we're thinking when we covet is that we're thinking that we'll get out of it soon. Okay, all right, I'm strong enough, then that didn't work. I can handle it, that didn't work. And the next word is, I'll get out of it soon. I'll get out of it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:25 that there's the passing pleasures of sin. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Of course it is. If it wasn't pleasurable, there'd be no temptation regarding sin. And you've got to decide. You've got to choose. You've got to make the right decision. You have to think right. And listen, and think for yourself. I'm big on independent thinking, critical thinking. Young people tonight, learn to grow your mind up thinking. Don't be satisfied having others think for you. Ask why. Always ask why. In school, you know how your teachers drive you crazy? You want to drive them crazy? This is free. Write it down. Ask them why. When they say something, say, excuse me, why is it why? Can you just say why? I'd like to know why. I'd love for all of you to go back to your schools when you go back and you do that. Watch what happens. I just need to know why. It's great. The teachers are going, don't do that. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 14, regarding us trying to get out of something, and we'll do it soon. James 1:14 gives us the pathology to spiritual death. Each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Is that not true? That's absolutely true. And enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That is awesome. That's painfully true, people. Amazingly true. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to show you what that means in a second. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles, listen to this, is the word methodia. It's where we get the word method, or methodology. This is amazing. Listen up, everyone. The Bible says Satan, the devil, is a real personality. He's for real. He's an actual angelic being. And he has a, according to the Bible, a methodology. Watch this. The word in Greek means literally this. The repeated, organized, systematic study of a topic. Guess who the topic is, by the way, that Satan studies? Let me see all your hands. Raise your hands. Come on. It's okay. We are the topics. Listen, the word, the definition goes on. to study by observation, to travel over the same ground repeatedly. Isn't that eerie? Satan goes like this, back and forth. He comes to your address of your life, and he studies you just constantly, patiently. A friend of mine told me, I've never forgotten it. He said, Satan is a gradualist. He's a gradualist, ever so gently, such a gentleman about it all, waiting patiently, slowly, studying your every move like a stalker. He sees your habits. He sees the people you hang around with. He knows what they're into because he's got goobers reporting to him. And he's got time. Look, you and I have got to sleep. You and I have got to go to work. You and I have got to do this and that. And he watches constantly. And he draws up a plan. I recommend everyone in the hearing of my voice right now, read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. Every Christian should read that book. It's a tiny book, and it will freak you out. And you need to, it's a great book. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. No one has been able to write it like he has. How Satan would just study your life and wait and just get his foot in your door a little bit and then get his leg in. Insert some, he knows that at a certain time of your life or at a certain issue, at a certain moment, he might wait 30, 40, 50 years. He might wait 70 years and he's waiting and he starts dropping these things. He puts it out there. He's lived a long time. We don't know how long. He's been around a long time. He has seen billions of people come and go throughout the history of man. He knows. And the Bible says he's got a systematic study and he studies the topic before he destroys it. The Bible says, Peter tells us that Satan is like a lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. I'll get out of it soon. I'm okay. What were we thinking when we covet? It's dangerous. Second point tonight is this, the 10th commandment. What were we doing when we covet? What were we doing when we covet? Thinking, doing. We do things that we would never have approved of before. When we begin to covet, we begin to allow things to happen in our lives that we would have never allowed before. Some of us have lived long enough in the Christian faith to see people who took a strong stand only over time to give up and to cave in. It's a heartbreaking thing to see. But to be doing something now that previously you never would have approved of, you never would have gone there. I give you a painful reminder regarding King David. We read about him in 2 Samuel a moment ago. King David, I'm absolutely certain that King David never, never in 1,000 years would have ever planned on his life being ruined. Would you have thought so? The guy from his youth, from being a little guy, God's hand was on him. I love David's life. I love learning from David. He's amazing. I can't wait to meet him. We're going to meet him. Those of us who are Christians, we're going to meet him someday. And he's amazing to me because there's just so many awesome characteristics about him that I would love to have. And then there's the other side of who he is in the flesh. Do you think for a moment that David, all along while he was a young boy keeping sheep, and he kills a bear protecting the sheep, and he kills a lion protecting the sheep, at that time he thinks, you know what, someday I'm going to sleep with somebody else's wife. Boom, kills a lion. Someday I'm going to murder. In fact, I could be a murderer. I might even murder somebody someday. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. Wow. It's one way to start out something. It's another way to finish it. We can all start. Everyone starts in a marathon. I can't even watch it on TV. I watch the start because I like to see people crash and fall down. They're stumbling over each other. It's pretty funny to watch 10,000 people trying to run down a bridge or whatever. I think it's hilarious as they're, and then after the start, it's like, I can't even watch the finish, not let alone run the thing. Now listen, spirituality and Jesus Christ and following him and your walk with God is a whole different thing. Finish well. You know what? Maybe tonight you say, man, I haven't done very good. Hey, listen, that's okay. Repent, get on the course, and finish well. I didn't start off very good. That's okay, buddy. It's how you finish. Well, I wasn't a very good mother. That's okay. It's how you finish. My fatherly skills stink. And hey, pick up the phone, call your kids. Tell them, I want to finish good. Isn't God good? We get to do that. If we'll obey him, if we listen to him, he wants it to go well with us. But never would David have ever imagined him, a murderous, adulterous man. But he became one. It's a slippery slope. Never would have approved of such things. David started out condemning such things, and then he wound up living the life. Could that be going on in our lives, where we were strong to judge, strong to declare the truth, and as time goes by, as years go by, we let our guard down, and now we're actually living in a life that is questionable according to our own previous standards, which leads us to this next consideration. We do things that we seek to justify in our own life. Once we start doing the coveting, we will seek to justify these things in our life. Well, it's because, fill in the blank. Why are you doing this now? Why are you doing drugs? My parents are jerks. That's not why you do drugs. Well, you know what? The economy is bad, so I'm going to pitch a tent and block Wall Street. That's not why you're doing that. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, you can read it later. I'll just give you the reference. It's chapter 7, the sin of Achan at the Battle of Ai. The Bible says right there that as Achan went into battle and he saw the booty from the victory, they got gold, they got a Babylonian. This guy's kind of fun, I'm sorry. The Bible says that when he went in, he said it of himself. He said, man, we were fighting, we got the victory, and I saw this Babylonian suit hanging there, and I just had to have it, he said. What a funny guy. No, honestly, the guy is a Hebrew, and they have a culture, and this guy sees a Babylonian garment. It's woven with silver and gold thread. It's Babylonian. It's got blue all over it. It's awesome. But he looked like a pimp wearing it. He comes back to the camp of the Hebrews. Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what are you wearing? Got this huge hat. Now, the hat part I threw in. It didn't say there was a hat in there. I'm just telling you that. But he's got this I saw the Babylonian garment. I had to have it. Where are you going to wear it? Hey, didn't we see that in the Battle of Ai a couple weeks ago? God said before they went into battle, don't touch anything of theirs. It's cursed. I just got to have that thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the last of the Ten Commandments, which says that we're not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor. There's more to come in this lesson that takes a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. So please be sure and join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget that you can visit us at realradioactive.org and drop Pastor Jack a line of encouragement. He really loves to get your emails. realradioactive.org and then click Radio Reaction. You can type in your message to Pastor Jack. You can also read what others have written, like this one from a listener. Pastor Jack, I just want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this radio ministry. I listen and am fed by the Word of God daily. May the Lord Jesus Christ continue to use and expand this ministry for His glory, and may many more souls be saved and touched. To God be the glory. That comes from Michael. Thanks so much, Michael. We really appreciate that. Again, go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on Radio Reaction. By the way, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.